Did anybody in this church or in your family? You know, Christmas ought to be a time when we really think about the love of God. Amen. One of the first places to get it all straightened out is to get yourself down to the altar. That's what this altar is for. There's no soul that deserves to go to hell because I was so bigoted or so prideful or so whatever I wasn't going to give an inch with my life and say, I'm sorry, let's be friends and let's move on for Christ and win souls for Jesus. Amen? And none of us are perfect. I'm certainly not. You're certainly not. And we all make mistakes. But that's what this altar is for, mistakes. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world, for all of us who made mistakes. He wanted to take all of our mistakes and throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. That just makes me want to shout when I think about that. I want to bring a message today about changing our culture one life at a time. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I've always had a great love for evangelism. Matter of fact, I tried a lot of work in evangelism. I could do it pretty well. The only thing is I didn't have enough money to feed me, so I had to do something else to help promote it. And Paul did the same thing. But, you know, we can't stop with winning a soul to Christ. We have to clean the fish after we catch them. And if you don't clean the fish and leave them in the sink or wherever you leave them in the bucket outside the back door, after a while, your place is going to stink. And that's what happens to our Christian life. That's what happened to our churches. We get people who are just saved and never grow in the Lord. By the way, Wood's doing an outstanding job, and I would recommend that you get in a Sunday school class about Israel and the church and dispensationalism and learn some things about God and about why things are different. And there was a slogan when I came here, and we still have it, I think, on our headings, things are different at Calvary, or come to Calvary and see the difference. You need to understand what the difference is. Some people don't know what the difference is. They think one church is as good as another. They think one preacher is as good as another. They think one Bible is as good as another. You got to have the right man, the right church, the right Bible, preaching the right method to do what God wants to do. Amen? Amen. So we want to change. God wants the culture changed. And we've changed the other way. Jesus Christ said to go into all the world and make disciples. Now that's a hard job. That's getting them saved and changing them. Taking the Word of God and changing them. But what we've done is we've let the world come into the church and change us. We're thinking like the world thinks today. We pattern our life, our programs, everything that we do after them. And we're not going to give an inch. We just keep moving that way. So we're going to have to do what he said. And the first thing that happens, if you're looking there at point number one, in our culture change, there has to come about salvation. There isn't enough money in Washington. There isn't enough education in all of our schools across this land to change people. You can change somebody's mind today and the devil will change it tomorrow. We need a heart change. Jesus said, out of the heart proceedeth evil, murderings, adulteries, and such alike. It's the heart that needs change, not the head. The head's only to get the message to the heart so the heart can change. So we need salvation. And we need to know what salvation is. Salvation is not feeling good today and bad on Monday morning. Salvation is when Jesus Christ, by your invitation, comes and dips his love by his precious blood into your heart and washes your sins away. That's what salvation is. And when God did that work, God did the convicting, Jesus provided the salvation, and the Holy Spirit brought the baptism into your heart. That's what the baptism is about. People want to talk about the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit, when he takes his spirit and joins you, your spirit, with Jesus Christ. It's not an individual thing. It's a collective thing. That's how you become a part of the great church of God. That's what he wants to do. And, you know, we need to study these things. We need to study and see what God has to say. And that's the baptism that we symbolize what's happened. We go through the baptismal pool to symbolize that God has now baptized me, John Hodge, into Jesus, and I've become a part of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit baptizing me. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says one faith, one Lord, one baptism. We don't need another manger scene. We don't need another birth of Jesus Christ coming into the world. We don't need another day of Pentecost. We've had that already. You see, we don't use what God said. No wonder He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for it. He said, I've given you this precious gift of salvation. It's free. Now take it and work it and work it and work it and work it. As a matter of fact, the subject came up a little bit. I think I brought it up. We're supposed to be working for God, not God working for us. Although God will do everything for you you can't do for yourself, but God will do nothing for you you can do for yourself.
Right.
We sometimes think that God's just supposed to do everything that we don't want to do. Just like a baby growing up. When he starts out, there's things that he can't do for himself, so we do them. But when he gets big enough to tie his shoes, we expect him to tie his shoes, don't we? We expect him to show up at the table in the morning if he wants breakfast. I know some of you mothers run a restaurant, but I didn't grow up that way. You showed up at breakfast table or you didn't get any. You showed up at dinner time or you didn't get any. Wasn't on this restaurant. Oh, poor, he don't like what we're having tonight. We're having sauerkraut, and he don't like sauerkraut. So you eat it or you don't eat it. We got a baby-fied society. We're going crazy. He told us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That means telling what you know about Christ and what He did for you. And if you don't know what He did for you, then you better come to the altar and get something that you can know that He did for you.
Amen.
And shall be witness to me in both in Jerusalem. Start, that means start where you are. Oh, I'll be a missionary someday. If you're not going to be a missionary here in McConnellsburg or Fulton County, you're not going to be a missionary in China.
Right.
You start right here. And in Judea. Then move on out and find more ways and grow and grow. And then Samaria and other most parts of the earth. One of the things that salvation will do and God wants us to do is change our way of thinking about the economy. A lot of things going on in Washington today is about economy. They got it all backwards. Numbers chapter 18, verse 28 says, and ye also shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye received of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron and the priest. We can't expect the world to do God's work and pay for God's work. We're to do that. God expects us to pay for it. That's why God gives you a job, not so you can be a very important person and run an important computer or an important office. God inspects you to take what He give you and promote the church of God. God's not asking us to tax the people to pay for the church. They do that in Europe, you know, by the way. It's you, me, everybody. We're to get it done, and that's the way we do it. And then he mocks us in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? And then he tells us how we rob God. Yeah, water would be good. Thank you. Then he tells us how to do it. 1 Corinthians 16:2 on the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. How many of you knew that? How many of you thought Monday was the first day? Well, now you know. This is the first day. We're to on Saturday get our tithes and our offerings together, write the check out. Matter of fact, my wife confessed to me this morning we forgot to. I'm bringing it tonight. To write our check out. We're supposed to do that. Oh, you got no business nosing around that. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah, people are robbing God. I should warn them about the judgment of God.
Amen.
God expects you to do what He said to do. Oh, I'm praying about it. What are you going to pray about? That you can get by as a thief? Call up Washington and tell them, say, hey, I'm going to rob the federal government. I'm not going to pay my taxes this year. You're going to go to jail or something else or something worse. unless your name's Nancy Pelosi, and then you can get away with whatever you want to. Or the guy from Detroit. You can have a sexual affair and take my money and pay the... Better watch out what words I'm using, right? The one who you had the affair with. Wonder how it becomes convenient all of a sudden for all these people to start talking about it. I'm not for men abusing women. But I think when women like it and have it, and then one day decide, oh, maybe I can get some more money out of it, I think that's wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Ladies, could I get an amen? Amen? If a man abuses you wrongly against your will, I'll be the first one to take him out and have him castrated. I would. I believe in that. Got no right violating a woman's rights. But a woman who will do it for money and then one day cry, oh, I need some more money. There's something wrong with that picture. Pastor Hodge, why are you talking about such things? They're going on in our government right now.
Right.
Who's going to tell this story? The Bible says the church should be the pillar and the ground of truth. Is my water on the way? I guess be here soon. But so much for that. We might as well move on because we're in the church and nobody here would even think about that or know anybody that's doing anything like that, right? Amen? Nobody. Thank you for the water. So the church will change the economy, not the legislators, not the education. You can buy you all kinds of degrees. They got them on sale online. You can get them all over the place. You can get a PhD after your name. You don't have to have any brains. The cell phone's got more brains than all of us, and just use it, and you can get anything you want. But some things you don't want, right? Need more water. I'm going to get started here directly. I'm like a steam engine. Once I get heated up, it'll really get moving. All right? What about our political structure? You think God's happy with Washington today? You think God's happy with Harrisburg? You think God's happy with... Well, getting close to home, ain't I? Real close to home. You think God's happy with the courthouse in here? Some people think he, maybe he's not. Well, we got a predominant church that runs a courthouse that believes in gay marriages. I think that's a little bit wrong, don't you?
Amen.
I mean, I think it's a little bit more than a little bit wrong.
Yes,
and we got finances going out to pay for transvestites to have their sexual life changed. How can we be discussing such things? How have we got to such a low-life place? May I mention a few? We let our educational system teach a generation that was okay. And so they stepped here. And then they stepped here. And then they stepped here. And then they stepped here. And it's like the camel. He gets his nose in the tent. After a while, his behind's in there too. And we're getting him behind. Think about that a while. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. Oh, tell us of the wonderful love of Jesus, Pastor Rod. I have. I begin in the beginning. We need to get to the altar and get the love of Jesus. And we're not going to transform the culture or the society if we don't. So our political structure, and he's doing it through the true church. If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. But if it don't meet the biblical standards of God's Word, then it's probably not a church. They can have a big building. They can have their bongo drums. They can have all their their singers. They can have their twinkling lights. But if it isn't based on the salvation of God's work, it's not a church.
Amen.
I don't care how much they do. And Jesus said, and Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We've got to have it right. And we can't apologize for that. We can't apologize for going along with the boom, boom, charismatic crowd. I've attended a church down in Alabama that our whole property wouldn't contain the building itself. They have a foyer where you can have your McDonald's breakfast when you go in. Most people were wearing shorts and tank tops and drinking their drink as they went in. Then when you got in the auditorium, give me some music here. Oh, yeah. Not church, folks. It's not church. You know, we need an old-time revival of coming before God and realizing His holiness, the true church. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave. You reading with me? Is it on the board? How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The behavior in the house of God ought to be different than out on the street. I say when you come here on Wednesday night after work, you got on rough clothes, you got on work clothes, fine. But I think when you've had all day Saturday to prepare for church, you ought to dress like you're going to church. You didn't come out of the garden working. Oh, and you know, the boss says, wear this kind of clothes with our name on it, you wear it. The boss says, dress like this, you dress like that. But then I'm just going to dress any old way I want to when I go to the house of God. Nobody say anything about it. Hello? Am I getting in your pea patch? You know, there's some things that just need to be covered. There's some things that just need to be covered up.
Amen.
My head's not one of them, by the way. As a matter of fact, be careful about making fun of a bald head. You know what happened when they made fun of Elisha, don't you? He called the she-bears out and ate all the kids up. It's a serious thing, listen to me, serious thing to mess with the things that God has ordained. The man of God, the word of God, the house of God. You don't have to like it, but if they put green peas on your plate, you have to eat it. When God says eat the green peas, you eat the green peas. And I always wondered, how did they make split pea soup? How do they split that pea? I don't know, but I know you better eat it. Eat it or wear it, right? Jesus said to Peter, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We get to worried about stuff. Oh, if we do that, nobody will come to our church. Oh, if we do this, we won't have any money. My God said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it if you do what I'd ask you to do. We don't need to be telling God what to do. We need to ask God what He wants us to do. We need to be changing society. And you know where it changes? As I started out with our salvation. And then we need to be changing our lives one life at a time and helping people change their lives. We don't run people off because that they're not dressed the way we want to see them dressed. We need to help them. We need to love people. We need to bring people to Jesus. He didn't throw away nobody. When he got down on his knees beside the harlot and prayed with her, and he said to her, "Where are thy accusers?" She said, "No man, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You know, we can get over here on this side and jump up and down about what you ought to do, but until we teach people and train people, we need to keep our mouths shut. And when the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we've not done something to straighten it out. In Psalm 127, verse 1, he said, "Except the Lord build the house." Except the Lord build the house. You know what the Lord builds the house out of? His souls. Oh, I don't like the little kids jumping down off the platform. I wish I had 100 of them jumping off of here. Oh, I don't like all the noise and the dirt and the cleaning up. I wish we had a lot more of them. We need workers for God. And you know, we all got our own little program. If it ain't mine, I'm not doing it. Can I help you? We need to go to some of these Wednesday night workers and say, "Listen, what Wednesday night would you like me to come and help you?" When can I come help you with the kids? What night would you like me to drive a van or ride the van? Can I help you? We got people that are looking at their watch on Wednesday night so they can wrap up their work and get here early enough to drive a van or help with a van to bring people in. We're working our workers overtime, reaching people. It's producing, too. It's producing. Some of it may not be the right motive. I had a lady call me, I don't know, a month ago. "Would somebody please come pick up my kids? I can't stand this." Okay, we'll pick them up, won't we? We'll love the little darlings. Well, they just want to get rid of their kids. Jesus said, "Selfish little kids coming to me." They may not be doing it right, but we'll do it right. And some of those kids, they are just really bad. I wasn't taught myself one time. Matter of fact, I still need a lot of help. I need a lot of help. My wife knows that verse in Proverbs better than the other verse. About a child is bound up with that, and if you take the rod, it'll drive it far from him. Well, they've worked on me with a rod from the head to my feet, and it's still working on me. Amen. Except the Lord build the house. And notice, if you try to do it any other way, look at verse 2 there. "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." When God's building the house, everything is good. I want the Lord to build the house, don't you? I want the Lord to build Calvary. I want the Lord to build our music program. I want the Lord to build our Bible study. We just don't shoot at a shotgun and say, "Hope I hit something." We aim at what God says do and do it the way God says do it. Amen. And we don't work by committees. We work by direction of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some people can't get elected dog catcher, but they get a title or something. All of a sudden they think they own the world. I'm going to tell the world how to do everything. We need God in charge. I want to do all I can in the upcoming days. Let me close with a thought. I have a lot of humor, as you know, because that's how I got through life. I was raised in the Depression in a family of 12. And I'm telling you, it wasn't much fun going on back then. There wasn't any cars. And during the Depression, the ones that were up on blocks because nobody could afford tires for them. But I learned if you learn to laugh at stuff, you could get by pretty good. And God has taught me a lot. When I was going through that operation, I lost it, folks. I mean, I saw things I couldn't even tell you about. It wouldn't be legal to talk about it. I believe I was almost dropped in the pits of hell to see what it was like. And one thing God convinced me of is I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. It's a horrible, horrible place and a horrible, horrible thing. And we need to do all we can to keep people out of hell. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That didn't say He loved the people that look like me and act like me. God loves the people that talk the way I talk. He loves them all. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. He loves them all. Loves every one of them. He loves those that disagree with me. He loves those that don't like what I like. He loves those that like checkerboard yellow and black, while I like the deep red. God loves them all. We got to decide we want all people to come to Jesus Christ. And it may not be my time to stand up and play my violin. I may be in the second chair or the third chair. But when somebody else's time, I will applaud them. We got to work for the cause of Christ. And if nothing else happened to me in this sickness, God showed me, you got to let God take over and do what God wants to do. And your biggest job, Pastor, is going to keep people from trying to stop God from doing what God wants to do. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, there are going to come wolves among you. They want to destroy. They want to tear up. It's too precious a thing for to let the word destroy. Would you stand for prayer? Every head bowed, every heart tuned to God. And listen, maybe I've named it, maybe I didn't name it, but if you got something in your life that you're wrestling with, then the altar's open right now, this very moment. You don't need a personal pat on the shoulder or nudge, you just come right on. And as soon as the piano starts playing, in the moment we'll have prayer, just get out of your seat where you're standing, come right on up. I'm not trying to get anybody to show off. I'm trying to get people to get close to God. And I want to be the first one there. You say, well, preacher, this is not my church. That's okay. You may come back, you may never come back. But God had you here for a reason this morning. And God wants to do a greater and deeper work in your heart and life. I said in the beginning, we're not perfect. I like the song, He's Still Working on Me. But when I know something is right, I need to do it. And if I know something is wrong, I need to step away from it. It's that simple. It's not hard. It's not hard to figure this out. God's laid it out for us. I'll go where you want me to go, we sing. And then we say, no, I'm not. We got to listen to God. Listen to His Holy Spirit. We want to change. In the book of Acts, it says that they were turning the city upside down. It went on to tell us that the world was already upside down. God was trying to straighten it up. You see, God's trying to turn America back upright. Maybe God's trying to change one life at a time. Maybe He's trying to rearrange your life and change you and get you back the way you ought to be. Say, here I am, Lord. I don't think it's an accident that God had Wood share His testimony with us. You love me more than these? Well, I'm just the way I am. I'm not going to change. Well, God says you ought to. And God's not a bully. He's not going to beat you into the ground. He's just going to say. And it is something that He used the term, you love me more than these. Do you love me more than what you're doing? The way you're being. Do you love me or don't you? Do you love me first? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Supreme love of the Jehovah God. Putting Him first. We talk about what wonderful programs we have at Calvary. What have you done to help any of them? Where is your effort, your support? 10 people can't do all the work that needs to be done in this place. It takes everybody. And when the road is pointed out and we've had our discussion, you either get in or get out. You either lead or you follow. There's no room for deciding what you're going to support. This is not a smorgasbord. It's you take it all. You eat everything that's on your plate. You couldn't leave my father's house away from that table until your plate was clean. You got to take it all with Jesus. Our hymn of invitation is 694. We'll sing for further invitation into your personal life or the altar if you want to come. While you're singing, think of what you're singing. Amen. All of God's people said amen.
Amen.
Is everybody okay? This pastor's not trying to get everybody in suits and ties. That's not my goal. My goal is about your heart. I want your heart right with God.
Amen.
That's what we're preaching. And tonight, we're going to start out with how to use your testimony. And we may have Wood bring us a message about what he's got going on. We might spend a little, might go over a little bit of time. Is that okay?
Amen.
We just go over just a little tad?
Amen.
Okay. Just a little bit, please. Just a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Want to have fellowship with the Spirit and fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. When we can't stand one another, there's something wrong with us. We got to get along with each other, right? Amen. Brother Ed, would you have our closing prayer?